Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics dazzled audiences with an epic sweep of modern Russian history. From Tolstoy's War and Peace to its achievements in space exploration, the very best parts of Russia were trotted out for the world to see. A very different scene was unfolding in Moscow and St. Petersburg, where Russian police arrested several gay rights activists. Last November, Jeff Charlotte, who is an author and a journalist and assistant professor of English here at Dartmouth, traveled to St. Petersburg and Moscow to investigate Russia's anti-gay laws and the persecution that has followed. His article in GQ magazine is called Inside the Iron Closet, What It's Like to Be Gay in Putin's Russia. Jeff Charlotte, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia. Good to be with you.
The eyes of the world are on Russia, yet the anti-gay propaganda law is still being enforced. After spending some time in Russia, did these arrests over the weekend surprise you?
No, they didn't surprise me, although it still was disappointing. One of the women arrested is an activist and journalist named Elena Kostyuchenko, and I was watching, like many around the world, what was happening, and I see a little video, and there's Elena in Red Square being arrested for singing the Russian national anthem and sort of subsequently threatened in jail. And she's been arrested so many times, it shouldn't have been surprising, and yet it kind of was stunning that there was just nothing that was going to slow down the Russian government. Also, that American media wasn't going to particularly pay attention.
Clarify for us what the law is and what is considered gay propaganda.
Well, it's Article 6.21. It was passed last June as part of a whole raft of laws sort of cracking down on civil society. Blasphemy is illegal, and nonprofit organizations that get donations from abroad now must register as agents of a foreign power. There's other laws designed to crack down on LGBT people. But this law is in some ways the most peculiar and most perverse, the anti-gay propaganda law. Propaganda is not really defined, and in that way, it's very much like an old Soviet law, Article 70, which sort of said propaganda is illegal and it's anything the state doesn't like. But there's one more twist to this that's really worth sort of noting. It does say that any assertion that a same-sex relationship is equal to that of a heterosexual relationship, that is definitely propaganda. So for a couple to say we love each other just as much as, you know, a man and a woman love each other, that's actually a crime.
Now, you point out that a similar law banning gay propaganda was laughed out of the Duma back in 2006. Why was it accepted in June? What's changed over these past 7 years?
Yeah, I think that's very important because we sometimes in the West imagine gay rights as sort of marching forward on the straight line, so to speak, of progress. And we think of what's happening in Russia as a vestige of their bad old ways they haven't gotten past. The reality is that throughout the last decade, LGBT rights have been getting better and better in Russia. Everyone I spoke to said just a few years ago was this wonderful time. 2006, as you say, this law was laughed off the floor of the Duma. And then in 2012, when Vladimir Putin came back to power. He never left. He was president, then prime minister, and now president again. But it was much more controversial. He had much more opposition, and he decided it was time to sort of harness this nationalist weapon in line with the Russian Orthodox Church, which was ready to cooperate. They declared Putin an act of God, and they decided that the internal enemy, the enemy within, would be LGBT people.
You meet people from a real spectrum of from activism to closeted, which reveals that there is not any kind of united movement against the anti-propaganda and anti-gay laws. Can you tell us a little bit about those divisions among the gay community and their tactics?
Well, the biggest division, unfortunately, I think, is, I would spend my days talking oftentimes to activists and then going out at night to clubs to talk to people. And in the clubs, I met a lot of men in particular who were fairly broken by this society or committed to hiding. And that's important. You know, we have to remember that the thing about oppression is it oppresses. There's one man I met at a club called Bunker, which is really a place for men who live in the world as straight men to go and meet meet one another in the dark. And this guy, Yuri, says, no more pride parades. We mustn't even try to ask for our rights. As I will be beaten, you will be beaten, he will be beaten, we'll all be beaten, and we'll go to the police, and they'll just smile. So that's a really common attitude. We better just hide. And then there's the activists, and even they have divides. There's the activists who are sort of more engaged with education and a little bit more Western-oriented. And then there's the radical in-the-streets activists who go out and they get beat down and they stand up and they go out again and they get beat down. I mean, these are some of the most fearless people I've ever met in my life. Mm.
Jeff Charlotte is with us. He's talking about an article that he's written for GQ called Inside the Iron Closet, What It's Like to Be Gay in Putin's Russia. It's going pretty much viral right now. Everybody's reading it, trying to get a little bit of an insight into what it's like to be gay and living in Russia today. Well, let's talk about the face of homophobia in Russia, which is similarly varied. The anti-gay propaganda law seems to be accepted by the public, but only, according to a poll, about 7% of Russians firmly oppose it. So does the public actively support the law, or is there maybe a fear of speaking out against it?
The public pretty actively supports it, and this is not because Russians are more barbaric than anybody else. It's because there is a really state-sanctioned campaign out there to persuade people that this is an actual threat to what the government calls Russia's sexual sovereignty. Putin is decrying the genderless tolerance being imposed by the West. And, you know, just recently, Russia's last independent TV station was pretty much shut down. So Russian TV, there's lots of choices, and they're all Fox News. And they will put on prime time, you know, these attacks saying that homosexuals are part of a foreign-funded attempt to destroy Russian culture and so on. And if you see that again night after night and you don't know too much about it, and you don't think that you know any gay people, you might be inclined to believe this. It's you know, one can go too far with Orwellian comparisons, but there is something sort of big brotherish to it where otherwise sane people believe what the state says.
Well, it's interesting. At the opening ceremonies, Thomas Bach, the head of the IOC, I think took a couple of digs at Putin, mentioning that embracing human diversity for this Olympics and tolerance. Is this one of those cases of, you know, the outside world telling us what to do fortifies what's going on inside of the country, amasses power around Putin?
Well, in that case, the outside world did not tell Putin what to do because NBC decided to edit out Thomas Bach's one decent statement. The IOC has been disgraceful on this in terms of sort of trying to dodge it. And finally, Thomas Bach, the head of the Olympic Committee, said, hey, look, we're going to affirm Olympic Principle 6, which is equality. And NBC said, oh, we don't want to get that controversial. But yes, there's always this idea that we should just let the Russians be Russians. They'll solve for themselves. Well, I think that's an idea that's very appealing right now to apologists internationally. It's very appealing to Russia. I didn't meet a single activist across the political spectrum who didn't say, yes, we want you. We want to hear noise. We want to hear you talking about us. We want to hear you asserting that we're alive, that we exist.
The laws are ostensibly aimed at saving the children. At least that's what they state. What do you think these laws do mean for the next generation of Russians?
You know, I end the story with this remarkable young guy that I met. I call him Peter in the story. He's 8 years old. He was adopted by a lesbian couple when he was 3 and a half. He was born HIV positive, raised in a horrible orphanage. When they adopted him, the only word he knew was sort of Russian for no, don't do that. He didn't even know his name. Mm. And now he is the most charming, wonderful kid. I mean, I met this kid and I said, this kid needs a television show. He's that charismatic and that full of joy. And he knows his mother are lesbians and he doesn't know that the world hates them. And he's starting to figure that out because he saw online a picture of some of his mother's friends being arrested. And he was puzzled by that. And his parents are now thinking that they may have to go into exile because there's a new law coming that would take children away from queer parents. And, you know, these women have given him this kid. He would not have had a life without them. And they've given him this life. And for, you know, these sort of public officials to say that they're the threat the same public officials who won't fund the orphanages and so on. It's just an astonishing feat of double talk in defense of the children at the expense of the children.
Jeff Charlotte, do you think after the eyes of the world have shifted from Russia and the Winter Olympics are gone from the network crawl spaces, that things for LGBT people in Russia will get worse, better?
Yes, I attended a meeting of Narodny Sabor, which is a national umbrella organization of hundreds of various right-wing organizations. And there was a sort of a meeting of leaders of factions one night. There was Cossacks, there was right-wing veterans, there was angry babushkas, there was right-wing Orthodox activists. And they were talking about what they called new measures, new tools in the fight. They said, we have not begun to fight. They said, we are going to begin the war. They said, violence will be acceptable. It already is acceptable, but they're talking about escalating it. I didn't speak to anyone, right or left, who didn't think things are going to heat up and get worse. And that's sort of part of why I think a lot of people wanted it, as much attention as they could get in this window. I think a lot of LGBT activists sort of say, we have to gain as much ground and as many international allies as we can now because there's a storm coming.
Jeff Charlotte, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Virginia.
Jeff Charlotte, a journalist and author of several books, including Sweet Heaven When I Die and The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. We're speaking with him today about his article for GQ magazine called Inside the Iron Closet, What It's Like to Be Gay in Putin's Russia. You can find a link to look at the article and some of the great photographs that accompany it at wordofmouthradio.org. Snowboarder Shaun White and New Hampshire's Bodie Miller make headlines for their Olympic performances. But what about India's luge champ or Mexico's royal ski racer? Coming up, some of the unlikely heroes of the Winter Games when Word of Mouth continues.